Reading Luke chapter 1:1-4. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministry of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all these things closely for some time, pass to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught.
Reading Luke chapter 2, verses 8-11. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord."
Reading Luke chapter 2, 25-32. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he has seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him upon in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel."
Thank you, Bethany, Aaliyah and Leon for the words. Now I'm going to call Pastor John to come up as he brings the message for today. And let's pray for him. Let's pray. God, we thank you that your word is alive and speaking. We thank you for Pastor John as he's going to speak to us today. We pray that Pastor John will be blessed and we'll be blessed by this word. We pray that you may speak through him and we can be modeled and changed through you. Prepare our hearts for this word to receive this message. God, we pray that you may guide us and allow us to align with your word. We invite the Holy Spirit and your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tiffany. And isn't it so encouraging to have the service being led by young people this morning and teenagers? And that is so good for the future of the church as well. Just to say that there is no creche this morning because people haven't turned up to lead it, but if you have got children who are noisy, etc., then please do take them out to the creche room because there are creche toys available for them out there. So this morning I'm starting a new series on the Gospel of Luke, and the title of it is Jesus is for Everyone. Jesus is for Everyone. When I was a young student at Bible College, which was more years ago than I'd like to admit really, a famous elderly preacher and pastor spoke to us about his long ministry. And one of the things he said that he regretted, now he was a famous preacher, very well-known preacher, but he regretted that he hadn't preached more on the Gospels. He hadn't preached more on the words of Jesus, the stories of Jesus. He preached through most of the New Testament books and many of the Old Testament books, but he wished that he'd spent more time preaching through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John and the actual stories and words of Jesus. I've been a pastor for 36 years, which is rather a long time. And I've preached in that time right through the Gospel of John, I think probably twice. I've preached through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew several times. I've preached through different stories and verses in Mark and Luke, but I've never preached through the Gospel of Luke. And so over these next months, I want us to hear the heart of Jesus, to really learn from Jesus' teachings, to learn from his parables, to learn from the events of his life on earth. Luke, who wrote this gospel, was totally different from Matthew, Mark, and John. Luke was a Gentile. He was a non-Jew like most of us, so we can relate in that way. Luke was not one of the 12, Jesus' 12 disciples, and it's probably unlikely that he ever met Jesus in person. Luke was a highly educated doctor and a very clever man who had become a follower of Jesus and accompanied Paul on some of his missionary journeys. Luke tells us in those first few verses that were read to us that he carefully researched the facts about Jesus so that he could put together an accurate record of the events of Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry, his teachings and his miracles, etc. And Luke wrote both Luke and Acts. If you didn't realize that, if you've not been a Christian that long, you might not realize that it was Luke who wrote the first book was the Gospel of Luke. The second book he wrote was the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts. And he wrote those books so that Christians like Theophilus could be certain and sure and confident in the truth of Jesus, the truth about Jesus. Luke didn't want anyone to think that the stories that he wrote in Luke and Acts were fables or were exaggerated rumors. He had personally researched and verified what he wrote about the events of Jesus' life and ministry. And it's important for all of us that we know what we believe about Jesus. And we know it's important that we know that what we believe is not based on fairy stories, it's not based on fables, but it's based on the truth of who Jesus was and is. That what we believe is based on the true events of Jesus' life and his teachings. We can have confidence today that what we believe about Jesus is based on solid truth, on carefully researched facts that can stand up to scrutiny. And that is why Luke wrote his gospel. And the overall message of Luke's gospel is that Jesus is for everyone, praise God. Jesus is for everyone. And that is really, really important to Luke. If Jesus had only been sent to save the people of Israel, if Jesus had only been sent to save the Jews, there was no hope, there was no savior for Luke as a Gentile, as a non-Jew. And so Luke emphasizes that Jesus is for everyone. And he emphasizes, first of all, that Jesus is for people from every type of background. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, it doesn't matter whether you're a Gentile, it doesn't matter whether you're a male or female, rich or poor, slave or free, educated or uneducated, Jesus is for you, praise God. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to set you free. Jesus is the savior of the world. And that is the key phrase that you quite often find repeated in Luke, that Jesus is the savior of the world. And Luke's gospel is full of stories of Jesus interacting with people from every different social strata in society in those days. So you find stories of Jesus talking and meeting and mixing with the poor, the despised, the diseased, the rich, the religious, the Jew, the non-Jew. And the message of Luke for us in 2021 is that Jesus is for everyone from every different type of background, praise God. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, whether you are educated and got degrees coming out from every orifice, or if you are uneducated, whether you are despised or whether you are distinguished. It doesn't matter whether you are a criminal or a lawyer. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to set you free, praise God. It doesn't matter what your racial background is. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. Jesus is for you, praise God. He's for you. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, an atheist, a Muslim, a Sikh, a Hindu, a Buddhist, or whatever. Jesus came to save you. He came to rescue you from sin. He came to rescue you from death and hell, praise God. And that is the message of the Gospel of Luke. Secondly, Jesus is good news of joy for everyone. You probably thought that was a bit like the shops, you know, that Christmas was coming early, reading part of the Christmas story this morning. But, you know, those words are not just for Christmas, are they? They are for the whole time, God's gift of his son Jesus to us. We shouldn't just remember Jesus' birth at Christmas time. We should remember and give thanks for his birth throughout the whole year. And so Jesus is good news of joy for everyone. In chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not." He does seem to have to repeat that quite often, doesn't he, whenever he turns up and meets people, because we are naturally very afraid when heavenly things start happening and angels start appearing. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." You see, the Jews thought their promised Messiah that they had been looking forward to for hundreds of years, thousands of years, well, certainly hundreds of years, would come just to rescue and deliver his special people, the Jews. But the angels make clear that the Messiah has actually come for all the people. He's come for all the people. And there was a double significance that this truth was revealed by angels to shepherds on the hills. You see, shepherds in those days were despised. They were looked down on as dirty and unclean. Religious people, good, upright, holy Jews, wouldn't go near a shepherd because they were despised. They were dirty. They were smelly. They were unclean. But the heavenly angels ignore all the religious holy people asleep in their beds in Bethlehem that night. Do you realize that? You know, we read the Christmas story and we get so taken up with what the angels are doing, we forget that most of the people were just asleep in their beds. They got no idea about any of these things happening. And the heavenly angel ignores all the religious holy people asleep in their beds that night. And they stage a heavenly musical. A better musical than any musical you'll ever find in any theatre in the world. They stage this heavenly musical for dirty, despised, downtrodden shepherds. God's heavenly messenger reveals God's great plan of salvation to lowly shepherds. The angel of the Lord entrusts shepherds with good news of great joy that will be for all the people, praise God. And if you feel that everyone looks down on you as a person, it doesn't matter. Because Jesus came to speak to you, to save you, to rescue you. If you feel dirty and unclean because of sin in your life, or because of failures in your life, because of mistakes that you've made in your life, Jesus came to forgive you and make you brand new, praise God. He cleanses us from our sin, praise God. If you struggle with low self-esteem, If you feel that you are thick and stupid compared to some other people, join the club. Jesus came to make you his child. He came to make you a prince and a princess of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can be a child of God. You can walk tall in your identity in Christ. You can sing, he is Alpha and Omega. You can worship the Lord. You can know Jesus as your security, your self-worth, and your significance, because Jesus is for everyone, praise God. And you know, it's vitally important that we realize this truth as a church. If you have been a Christian for years and maybe going to church for years, it's easy to think, isn't it? It's easy for us to think that Jesus is just for us, just for you. That Jesus is just for people who go to church. We go to church and we expect Jesus to bless us. We expect Jesus to answer our personal prayers. We sing songs about me and Jesus. And we easily become selfish. And we just want Jesus for ourselves. We'll keep him for ourselves. We don't want to share Jesus with people who don't come to church, who aren't nice people. He is mine, and I am his, and his banner over me is love. Isn't that wonderful? But there can be a weakness in that. We can end up treating Jesus as my personal God, there to meet my personal needs. And if Jesus doesn't meet our personal needs, we can get angry, can't we? And frustrated with Jesus. We're not sure we want to be Christians anymore because my Jesus, who's meant to be my God, my personal God, isn't doing what I want. But he is the sovereign Lord God Almighty. But you know, Christians and churches were never meant to keep Jesus for themselves. They were never meant to meet in holy huddles. The church, as someone has said, is the only club or organization on earth that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Do you want to see God's rich blessing on your lives? I'm sure you do. I do. Well, don't just sing possessive love songs about Jesus. Be obedient to Jesus' great commission and get out there in the world and share the good news of Jesus with everyone you meet, because Jesus is for everyone, not just for me, not just for us. Jesus came to save people who would never come inside a church. Jesus came to save people who are just getting out of their beds right now because they had too much to drink last night. Jesus came to save them. He came to rescue those who didn't have a bed to sleep on last night. He came, didn't he, to rescue those who don't want to get out of bed today because they're overwhelmed with debt, maybe. Some of the stories that Sarah was just talking. Or they're overwhelmed by disease and sickness. Or they're overwhelmed by domestic violence or abuse or whatever it may happen to be. But Jesus came to rescue them, because Jesus is for everyone, not just for us. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, not just us. And then thirdly, Jesus is a light to the Gentiles. In chapter 2, verses 29 to 32. In the Jerusalem temple, Simeon takes the baby Jesus in his arms. And he blesses the baby Jesus and he blesses God. And he says these amazing words, prophetically, filled with the Holy Spirit. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Now, I don't know if Simeon whispered those words quietly over the baby Jesus or whether he spoke those words out loudly. But those words are dynamite. They are radical. They are very dangerous words to speak in the Jerusalem temple. And sometimes we don't realize that. But just think forward, 45 to 60 years later, after Simeon spoke those words, think forward to the Apostle Paul as he goes around on his missionary journeys, preaching to the Gentiles. He was persecuted. He was beaten up. He was flogged. He was stoned. He was imprisoned. Why? Because he was fulfilling Simeon's prophecy. He took the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. When Paul visited the very same temple that Simeon was holding the baby Jesus and prophetically speaking those words, about 55, 60 years later, Paul, the Apostle Paul, visits that same temple in Jerusalem. And when he told the people that Jesus had come to save the Gentiles, it caused a riot. They tried to kill him. They set an ambush for him. 40 men, more than 40 men, we're told, vowed to not eat and drink until they killed Paul. That's how dynamic this prophecy is that Simeon spoke over the baby Jesus. That Jesus would be a light for the revelation to the Gentiles. And Simeon's words tell us that God is radical. You know, there's nothing comfortable about God. There's nothing cozy about God. God is sovereign. He's almighty. He's all-powerful. He's radical. He is dynamic. And God's mission and God's salvation plan is far broader than the people of Israel or the modern church. Jesus is for everyone. And we need to get out and tell everyone about Jesus. He's not just the Jewish Messiah. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He came to reveal his light, his salvation to the Gentiles, as well as to be the glory of Israel. Jesus did not just come and die for the church. He didn't just come and die for Christian people. He came to save the world. He came to save those outside of the church. He came to save the Gentiles. He came to save sinners. He came to save those who are lost. He came to save those who worship other gods and other religions. Jesus, we're told, reaches out to the lost sheep. He leaves the 99 in the sheepfold. And he goes after the one who is lost. And we have to face the reality today. If Jesus visited Sheffield in person today, I want to say to you, he wouldn't be in church with us here this morning. Even though we might think that Rock Christian Center is the best church in Sheffield, or in this area, even if we did think that, Jesus, I don't think, would be here this morning. He wouldn't be at the cathedral or an Anglican church. He wouldn't be at one of the redeemed congregations. He wouldn't be at the Well, which is meant to be the fastest growing church in Sheffield. He wouldn't be at Potter's House. He wouldn't be at C3 Hope, which is now being renamed. He wouldn't be at Winner's Chapel. He wouldn't even be with Pastor Chris at Christ Embassy. I mean, it's an embassy for Jesus, but I want to say to you, I don't think Jesus would be there. Because I think if Jesus was here in person in Sheffield this morning, he would spend his time with the modern day Gentiles, wouldn't he? He would be spending his time with the biggest sinners, the poor and the needy, the sick and the destitute, the lost atheists, Muslims, Sikhs, Hindus, those who don't know him. I want to say there is absolutely nothing wrong about being in church and worshipping Jesus. Praise God. It was just wonderful to worship Jesus earlier, to be able to celebrate Jesus as Alpha and Omega, to exalt him together. Church was Jesus' idea. It wasn't man's idea. Church was his plan. We are the body of Christ here on earth. We need church. We need each other. And it's vitally important that we worship Jesus together. It's vitally important that we're taught God's word, that we pray together, that we are filled and renewed by the Holy Spirit. But church is not supposed to be inward looking, is it? We're meant to be outward facing. We do not gather to huddle around the light of Jesus, protecting the light of Jesus, soaking up God's blessing in our lives. We gather to be strengthened, encouraged, and equipped so that we can shine the light of Jesus ever brighter to those who are in darkness. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine out of your life, into your family, into your friends, into your workmates, in and among your neighbors. Let it shine out of our church, into the communities around us. You know, we need the Holy Spirit to fill us up when we're in church. But then we need the Holy Spirit to send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill us up and send us out is our prayer. Fill us up and send us out is our prayer. When I first came to this church in the old onion factory, there was a big board over the entrance facing inside the church. And as you went out of the church building, it said, you are now entering your mission field. It was a great big red board. Some of you who were there many, many years ago before we had to put a roller shutter on the church, it was up there. You are now entering your mission field. And that's so true. When we go out of church, we're meant to take the light and the Holy Spirit that we've been filled up with out into the darkness of the world out there and to share the message of Jesus with others. Fill us up and send us out. Fill us up with the Holy Spirit. Send us out in the power of the Spirit. This church, Rock Christian Center, was prophetically called in its early days by God to be a lighthouse. That's why we named that chapel in Hanley Street the Lighthouse. A lighthouse shining bright in the darkness of the communities around us. And there's a lot of darkness, isn't there, in Burngreave? There's a lot of darkness in every community in Sheffield. But there's a lot of darkness in that whole area of East Sheffield and Northeast Sheffield. It needs the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And praise God, God has enabled us to be a light to the Gentiles. Through the outward facing ministries of Food Bank, of street pastors, of the homeless project, of the Cap Debt Center. Now we're looking to add the cafe church and English classes. But don't let it stop there. Let's really pray that we would see fruit from those ministries of people being brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So the challenge to you today is, will you just come to church on a Sunday? Or will you be a light to the Gentiles around you? Will you let your light shine by becoming involved in one of the outward facing projects of this church? You know, we should be queuing up, shouldn't we, to let our light shine through the different projects that this church is involved in, that light may shine into people's hearts. Will you share the joy of seeing lost people living in darkness, having their lives transformed by Jesus? Not by us, not by Rock Christian Center. Their lives can only be transformed by Jesus. And it's Jesus who reveals his light to Gentile sinners. Praise God. So in summary, as I finish, as we go through Luke's gospel, we're going to discover stories showing that Jesus is for everyone, for people of every different type of background. And that includes you and it includes me, praise God. He is good news of great joy. And he's revealing his light to the Gentiles, those who are outside of the church. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, I just want to thank and praise you that Jesus is for everyone. Because, Lord, I'm one of those everyone. And, Lord, if Jesus wasn't for everyone, Lord, none of us, Lord, could know you, could have a relationship with God, could know what it is to be saved and set free by Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank and we praise you that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to live among men and women and boys and girls like ourselves, to die upon that cross, to pay the price for our sin, so that we could have a relationship with him. Lord, we want to thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, when you ascended into heaven, Lord, you sent your Holy Spirit. Lord, so fill us with your Spirit today, Lord, we pray. That, Lord, we would be filled up, Lord, in order to then be sent out with that fullness of the Spirit to those who do not yet know you. Lord, may we be a church that is outward facing. May we be a church that is leading people to Jesus. May we be a church that sees people's lives transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, Lord, and through his Spirit, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you, the team.